Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 60 to 69. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, the only bread of life for all of mankind, to fellow redeemed. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, the Lord through the Apostle Paul declares, "The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned," meaning spiritually understood. And so it has been since sin came into the world and clouded man's reason. The natural man, that is the man, the person who doesn't have the Spirit living in his heart through faith, looks upon the Word of God as foolishness. We find that today, and Jesus experienced it also in his day. God's thoughts are not man's thoughts. God's ways are not man's ways. Therefore, God's words are foolishness to unbelieving people. It's impossible for them to understand, to comprehend, to accept or believe God's words by themselves. And so they rebel against God's word in one way or another. For example, God clearly reveals in his word that he created the world and everything in it out of nothing in 6 consecutive days. But man rebels and rejects that and says, no. Everything this world came over billions and billions of years of evolution, out of chaos, with no supreme being. God clearly says in his word that he alone creates life, and he alone has the right to take life. But man rebels. They try to create life in a test tube or clone lives, and then at the same time, they destroy life in the womb with the abhorrent procedure of abortion. God's word clearly says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's none who does good, no, not one, that all are headed for hell. But he, out of love, sent his Son to take our place, to live the perfect life of obedient love we could not live, to die and be damned for us, and rise again to give us eternal life. But man rebels against that and says, no. We all have a goodness in us, a righteousness of our own. We can stand before God just and holy by ourselves, and we can merit eternal life. Mankind reacts by rebelling in one way or another to God's word, to God's thoughts, unless the Spirit of God makes the heart and mind and life of the unbeliever captive to the word. And that's the overall thought for this morning's sermon, which is the last of our trilogy on the 6th chapter of John. Our heart, mind, and life is captive to God's word, which means we look upon the word of God as being God's word given to us. Every single word of it is true. Every single word of it is verbally inspired. We are not here to try to reason it out or even comprehend it. We simply are to believe what God tells us. Yes, even the hard sayings of our Lord. Last Sunday, we heard Jesus say that I'm the bread of life. He used that term because he had just the day earlier fed some 5,000 men, not counting women and children, with just a few loaves of bread and some fish. He knew the people wanted to make him a king because they thought, well, if this man can do that, he can serve us, feed us. They wanted him to be a physical king to feed their bodies. But he was not that kind of king. He came to feed him spiritual bread, nourishment for their souls. So Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. And when Jesus was done speaking, we read the first verse of our text, verse 60 of chapter 6. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? So what made these beautiful words of our Savior such a hard saying for them? Well, first of all, they were confused. They didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. They thought, ooh, do we have to eat of his flesh? Do we have to really drink of his blood? Jesus clearly showed him that's why he was not talking about that. He said in verse 47, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Jesus is not talking about physically eating his body or drinking his blood. He's not talking about the Lord's Supper either. That was not instituted yet for another year. He's talking about believing in him, trusting in him, looking to him and seeing that he is God in human flesh and blood. He's the God-man. He's true man and true God in one person. And that's what they could not accept. That was the hard saying that they couldn't believe, that Jesus is God and man in one person. And so, as our theme says this morning, Jesus' statement that I am the bread of life is a hard saying for two reasons. Because, first of all, Jesus spoke of himself as more than the people are ready to believe him to be. And secondly, Jesus spoke of them as less than they believe themselves to be. Jesus was telling his followers that I am the heaven-sent, life-creating, life-sustaining bread for your sin-starved souls. He was simply telling them the truth, that he is a human being just like them. He's Jesus, the man, but he's also Jesus, the Son of God. God in human flesh and blood. This mystical union between God and man was that hard saying that they just couldn't comprehend. Why? We said at the beginning of the sermon, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness to him, nor can they know them because they are spiritually discerned, spiritually understood. It's interesting to note that word saying, we said this is a hard saying, that word saying literally means word. It's the same term that John used in his gospel in chapter 1 when he said, in the beginning was the word, the saying, the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Because these people could not understand or believe this saying, this word from Jesus, they couldn't believe that Jesus was the word, true God. Many of them had followed him, some for a long time, but they followed him for all the wrong reasons. They followed him because he was a miracle worker, healed the sick, raised the dead, gave them a lot of food out of nothing. They didn't follow him because he was their savior to save them from their sins. Jesus knew this, and so he asked them the question, Does this offend you? In other words, does this statement and teaching about me cause you to stumble and fall away from the faith? Do my words drive you into unbelief? Well, they should, if I'm only a man. They should, if I were not the bread of life sent down from heaven. They should, if I could not give my life for you to have eternal life. But these words should not cause you to stumble and fall if I am the true bread of life, true God and true man. And if you see me, the Son of Man, ascend to heaven where I came from, then why would you not believe? Won't that prove that I am what I said I was? What Jesus is saying is, if you don't believe my words, then you surely won't believe my actions either. But why couldn't they believe Jesus? As we said in the first point of our sermon text, they couldn't believe this because they believed that Jesus was making himself out to be more than they were ready to believe him to be. He was proclaiming himself to be their God, their Savior, their Lord, whom they needed or they would die. And his flesh and blood got in the way. He looked just like them. He had hands and feet, body. Now, maybe if he would have glowed or floated around or disappeared and reappeared, maybe, but he looked just like them. And so they thought, who do you think you are to tell us that you are our God? You are our Savior? You are our Lord? That we can't save ourselves? That you're the only way? When you're just like us? And the heart of the whole matter was the heart. They had had a spiritually dead heart. For secondly, Jesus was telling them what they didn't want to hear. They believed he was telling them they were less than they believed themselves to be. That they were spiritually lost, starved souls, that they themselves could not earn their way to heaven. Nothing they could do would be good enough for them to stand before their Heavenly Father. They didn't need manna, miracle bread there. They needed Jesus, the bread of life. And their unbelieving hearts could not accept that. And so they walked away from him. Jesus tried to warn them. He said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe. That leads us to our last point. This statement of Jesus, I'm the bread of life, is a hard saying because Jesus said, only the Holy Spirit can reveal the meaning of the statement to mankind. They refuse to let the Spirit work on their heart. Their self-righteousness, their sinful pride, rebelled against the idea of free grace, of free mercy through a man who is God, Jesus. Jesus clearly told them, their flesh, their works, their actions merit nothing, comfort nothing. It's the Spirit that gives life, and the Spirit alone comes from God. It must have been terribly sad for Jesus to see so many of his former followers now desert him, reject him for what he really was. The majority of his followers failed the test of faith, so Jesus now turns to his closest disciples, his nearest and dearest, the 12 apostles. He turns to them and he says, do you also want to go away? Will your self-righteous hearts, will your sinful pride also lead you to be offended by this and walk away from me and reject me? Literally in the Greek, this is a negative question, expecting a negative answer. Jesus is saying, you do not want to leave too, do you? Because Jesus knew what the answer was. He knew what was in the hearts of his apostles, but he was testing them. He was testing them to confess their faith. He wanted them to re-examine and evaluate the reason that they followed Jesus. Was it because he was so popular? Was it because he did so many miracles? Was it because he was a prophet? Or was it because he's truly the Son of God? He wanted them to assess their relationship, to verbalize what they believed, especially at this very important point when they saw so many people turn away from him, reject him at this time. Well, as is very common, Peter was the first to answer. He spoke for the rest of the disciples. He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we've come to know and believe that you are the Son, are the Christ, the Son of the living God." The apostles had not been offended by Jesus' words. Yes, this is a hard saying for them too, if they try to comprehend it and reason it out, but the Holy Spirit had created faith in their hearts to believe what Jesus said, that he is the Son of God, he is the Son of Man, both God and man in one person, and that their efforts count for nothing at all. He is the Son of God. That's almost 2,000 years ago. Now this morning, Jesus is speaking to all of you, to all of us, and all of you watching this morning or later on YouTube. And he's saying to you as well, "I'm the bread of life." You know what that means? That means you too must eat and drink of me. That is, believe in me, because your flesh profits nothing. We too, as followers of Jesus, would find this to be an awfully hard saying if we use our reason. Because Jesus is telling us, you know what you are? You're spiritually impotent. You know what you are? You're spiritually dead. You know what you are? You're spiritually blind without me. By yourself, you cannot stand before my Heavenly Father, righteous and good. The only thing you deserve is your eternal death and damnation. And if you think that Jesus is talking about you as less than you believe yourself to be, then we better listen carefully to God's law and look into the mirror of God's law and hear him say, "The soul that sins shall die. There is none good, no, not one." Because the law clearly says God expects perfect obedience in thought, word, and deed, and we can't even come close to what God demands of us. And if you think that Jesus is speaking of himself as more than you believe him to be, then you better listen carefully also to the word of God that says, "God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." And believe and listen to the words of Jesus that says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." We mentioned 2 weeks ago when we began this trilogy of sermon texts on John chapter 6 that this was the turning point in Jesus' ministry. From this time on, many, many people forsook him, stopped following him. He went from popularity to rejection. These people were without the Spirit. They could not understand, they could not comprehend, they could not accept, they could not believe the words of Jesus were telling them were foolishness to them. And in unbelief, in self-righteous pride, they rejected Jesus. They wanted a Savior who'd feed their bodies and take care of them in this earth. They didn't think they needed one that would save them and take care of their souls. So as we conclude this morning, Jesus has one more question for you and for me. The question is this: do you also want to go away? Will these words of mine be a hard saying to you? Or will you cling to me ever closer, to your rock of salvation, to your bread of life? Will you bow to the authority of my word in your life? Submit your will to my will. Will you admit to your own selfishness, your own sinfulness, repent of your sins, and look to me alone for forgiveness, life, and salvation, alone through my cross and through the empty tomb? And we pray that all of us will be able to stand with Peter and the apostles and boldly and confidently say, Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words to eternal life. And we've come to know and believe you are the Christ. You alone are the Son of the living God. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our only Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.